Dear listeners, this is IQ Rasuli hosting for the next 3 hours on behalf of YADA, who has graciously entrusted me with this mission. This is an extraordinary honor for me, and I hope I shall not disappoint either YADA or yourselves. For those who do not know who I am, I would like to introduce myself before I start with this long and very informative hosting. Please feel free to call in, whether you agree with me or not, because feedback from listeners is extremely important to help us learn and understand our audience better and hence try to further improve ourselves. My name is IQ Rasuli. It's a pseudonym to protect my identity, because although my conclusions and comments upon the subjects of Muhammad, Arabs, and Islam are totally factual, but at the same time are utterly politically incorrect, as you will discover very shortly. My mother tongue is Arabic, as I was born in Iraq, and very luckily for me, to secular parents. By this, I mean non-observant, very westernized and open-minded, who believed in live and let live, irrespective of color, race, nationality, or creed. My father was an avid reader who purchased and or ordered books from America and England, and had an excellent library about history, philosophy, art, classical music, novels, etc. I too became interested in these subjects, as well as with classical and Western music. I was sent to Europe to study engineering and afterwards returned to Iraq after obtaining my degrees. This did not happen because while in Europe and having infinity more freedoms to learn, debate, compare, contrast, and form my own conclusions, I found myself at total odds with my own culture and my programmed false history and theology. All these contradictions that agitated my intellect and soul started especially after I read the Bible for the first time to compare and contrast its stories found mentioned in the Quran. To my shock, amazement, and consternation, not a single story in the Quran was remotely similar to its original in the Bible. Not once is there any background to any of the biblical names mentioned in the Quran, such as Adam, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, the Israelites, Moses, Aaron, Jesus, Noah, Goliath, King David, King Solomon, etc. As to when were these people born, in which country, in what era, and what achievements or anything else about their historicity. Each and every which one of them jumps out of the pages of the Quran from nowhere, as if Muhammad's audience were already knowledgeable with these names, hence required no further elaboration. It is a shocking fact that hundreds of millions of current Muslims who have never read the Bible, most probably 99.9% of Muslims, the names of the biblical characters have absolutely no meaning or relevance to them, except that they are called prophets in Muhammad's Quran. The more I studied the Quran, the Bible, Hadith, by the way, Hadith are the stories forwarded to us by Muhammad's companions, the more astounded I became and the utter ignorance of most of humanity, whether Muslims or not, regarding the facts about the Quran, the history of the Arabs, Muslims, Christianity, Israel, and the Jews. Having realized that all what I had been taught in Iraq was a twisted, one-sided historical and or theological narrative, I took it upon myself to set the record straight, no matter what the cost, in time, money, security, and effort. Hence, I started delving into the history of the Arabs before, during, and after Muhammad. I studied and researched the history of Arabs and Muslim conquests, their occupation and plunder of lands on three continents, from the Atlantic Ocean to beyond the Indian Ocean, and from Arabia to Europe. So far, I have spent more than 30 years on these subjects. Most people do not even realize that the after effects of Arab imperialism, the longest lasting in human history, continue as we speak all over the Arabized and Islamized world even after 1400 years. In November 2000, just before the turn of the millennium, I submitted the prologue to my thesis about Muhammad and his Quran to three top publishing firms in Europe for their consideration. In the prologue, I predicted and asserted the following: that the greatest threat to human civilization in the 21st century is not nuclear weapons, but most assuredly fundamentalist Muhammadan Islam with or without weapons of mass destruction. Before the end of December 2000, all three publishing firms refused my thesis because they stated that it is extremely unconventional, incendiary, and or controversial. Tragically, I have been vindicated by the acts of wanton terror by fundamentalist Muslims, causing the Holocaust of about 3,000 Americans on 9/11/2001 without weapons of mass destruction, followed by similar acts all over the world ever since. Without any financial or intellectual help from anyone else, I had my web and blog created to enlighten an almost comatose humanity regarding the existential threat it faces from the relentless quest by Muslims to impose Sharia upon all of mankind, thus eradicating all other beliefs except Islam. Dear listeners, my mission is simple: to enlighten as many human beings, both among the so-called believers and unbelievers, regarding the facts and realities of the background of Muhammad, his Quran, his Sunnah, Sharia, and what their singular purpose is, which is to submit all of humanity to Sharia by eradicating all other religions and or belief systems. For those who are interested to learn more, please visit or read the following: www.alrasuli.com. Al-Rasuli is A-L-R-A-S-S-O-O-L-I, containing all links to my other sites, as well as 243 audio videos in chapters that explain fully almost every aspect of Islam, Arab, and Muslim histories. Another one is www.inthenameofallah.org, of about 780 chapters, containing full references that delve into even more details about Muhammad, his Quran, his Sunnah, and Hadith. One can also read my trilogy of three books, volumes 1, 2, and 3, called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, from Amazon or Author House. To make sure that my listeners and or readers believe what I'm revealing to them, I have put up challenges worth more than $1 million to those who are first to prove anything I reveal as either deliberately misleading or false. This, by the way, has never been done at any time by anyone before me on the internet, radio, or publishing. So far, even after more than 10 years, and millions of listeners and or readers, I have not had to fork out a single dime. I wonder why. A as I'm speaking to you, please be aware that Europe is undergoing an internal convulsion that will most probably turn into a religious war between Europeans and the ingrate Muslims who have immigrated amongst them. The politically correct European elite in the media, academia, clergy and politicians have stupidly but intentionally created these conditions by allowing Muslims from all over the world to become citizens, although their Quran forbids them from ever being loyal to any European constitution or be loyal to the European peoples who welcomed them to start with. Unfortunately, the USA is following in their misguided footsteps to the detriment of all Americans who are not Muslims. After 9/11, millions of Americans were asking, why do these Muslims hate us so? What have we done to deserve their intense and deadly anger? Tragically, these questions were wrongly answered by many politicians, academicians, clergy and media, who have not read, let alone studied, Muhammad's Quran and Hadith, or deliberately and maliciously explained by Muslims who have every reason to hide the truth. The answer is, as usual, very simple when one studies the subjects concerned. The tragedy of 9/11 produced a very significant positive result because millions of people around the world started reading the Quran and Islamic history to find out more about why Muslims committed that heinous atrocity, followed by many more around the globe against Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, and others. With the internet and the availability of instant information on Google and others, people all over the world are learning the facts about Islam, that their media, academia, and politicians are not appraising them of. Dear listener, be aware that the worst nightmare and the four horsemen to continue. Dear listeners, be aware that the worst nightmare and the four horsemen of the apocalypse of Muhammadan Islam are called knowledge, 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 and knowledge. This is why Muslims, having opened Pandora's box on 9/11, are now doing their utmost to silence any and all those who tell the truth about their demonic cult belief system. This is why they are doing their worst to make it a crime under the United Nations Charter to criticize Islam by calling these critics racists or Islamophobes. They're very scared because they know they are running out of time before most of humanity will discover the facts about the violence, intolerance, and toxicity of Muhammadan Islam. Among many of the absurd and untrue reasons given in the aftermath of 9/11 were because of American imperialism or Christian enmity of Islam, such as the Crusades. And last but not least, maybe because of the Arab-Israeli conflict and or because of America's support for the survival of Israel. Dear Americans, not a single one of the reasons given stands up to scrutiny of even the simplest historical and or theological investigations. First and foremost, thousands of American lives have been lost in the last 35 years trying to save Arabs and Muslims from the butchery of other Arabs and Muslims. In Lebanon, Somalia, Kuwait, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Kosovo, Bosnia, and others, while not a single American soldier has died defending Israel. Second, the Arab-Israeli conflict was started by the Arabs in 1948 contravention of UN resolutions allowing for the creation of a two-state solution in what was then British-mandated Palestine. And the United States of America had absolutely nothing to do with that war. That the Arabs publicly declared as a war to exterminate the Jews and eradicate Israel off the face of the earth. Thirdly, the Crusades of the 11th century were in response, I repeat, in response to 350 years of Islamic jihad, aggression, humiliation, and plunder against Christianity and Christians, especially in the Holy Land, where the Muslims were taking Christian pilgrims hostages for ransom or selling them as slaves if ransom was not forthcoming. Hence, the Crusades were not a wanton, unilateral aggression by the Christians, but actually attempted self-defense against the unending wars of Islam against Christian lands. Fourth, and most important of all, is that Islam and Muslims do not hate America only, because Islam and Muslims are equal opportunity haters of all human beings who are not Muslims, whom they call infidels, unbelievers, kuffar or kafirun in Arabic. Question. Why do they hate us all who are not followers of Muhammad? Answer. Very simply. Because Muhammad's Quran and Hadith instruct them to do so. And as believers and or fundamentalists, they have no choice but to obey their God Allah's crystal clear intolerant and racist instructions. As outrageous and shocking as my statements may sound, to the mostly Quran ignoramus, politically correct, but utterly uninformed ears, nonetheless, I shall, as usual, prove each and every one of them in chapter and verse based entirely upon the Arabic sources themselves. For example, Al-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 29, says, fight, qatilu, those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which has been forbidden by Allah and His Apostle Muhammad. I shall continue after the break. You continue. Al-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 29. Fight, qatilu, those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which has been forbidden by Allah and His Apostle Muhammad, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, Islam, even if they are of the people of the book, Christians and Jews, until they pay the jizya, which is an onerous tax for not being a Muslim, and they have to pay it with willing submission and feel themselves humiliated. Just to make sure that the listeners would believe what I'm revealing, I would like to put forth a challenge worth $100,000 to the first person who can show us all a single operative verse in Muhammad's Quran that demonstrates any compassion and mercy to all unbelievers, kuffar. Ladies and gentlemen, currently, unbelievers represent 80% of humanity. All Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics, etc. That is, any and all those who are not Muslims. $100,000 for just one verse from among over 6,200 verses in Muhammad's Quran. Next, Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 51. O ye who believe, Muslims, take not the Jews, Yahud, in Arabic, and the Christians, Nasara, in Arabic, for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors to each other. And he amongst you that turns to them for friendship is of them. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to point out to you the unbelievable implications of the last sentence of this verse. And I repeat it. And he amongst you Muslims that turn because it prohibits any and all Muslims from ever becoming so-called moderate. It explicitly tells the followers of Muhammad that if they befriend Christians and Jews or any other non-Muslim entity, they, the Muslims, automatically become apostates to Islam and the enemies of Islam. This verse is commanding the Muhammadan Muslims to be jihadi Muslims or supporters of jihad. Otherwise, they too would be murdered like all other infidels. That is why the Fort Hood Muslim American officer unflinchingly slaughtered unarmed fellow Americans while shouting the terror verse of Allahu Akbar. Because as a fundamentalist believing Muslim, he cannot, nor can any Muslim, be loyal to the American Constitution because it is man-made and hence not from Allah Sharia, nor be loyal to the infidel American people because they are not Muslims. Anyone who tells you there are moderate Muslims should be consigned to a mental asylum or should instantly be called a liar or stupid without any equivocation. For those who are still not convinced, how about the following peace-loving verses of Islam? Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 85. If anyone desires a religion other than Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of him. This is like the Nazis über alles, that is superior over all others. If this is not religious racism, what else can any thinking and decent human being call it? Al-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 33. It is Allah who has sent his apostle Muhammad with guidance and the religion of truth, Islam, to proclaim it over all other religions. For those brain dead among the politically correct, Allah, the God of Muhammad, proclaims that Muhammad's belief system is superior again to and transcends all other religions and beliefs on earth. Again, I ask, if this is not toxic intolerance and racism, what is it? Muhammad chapter 47, verse 4. Therefore, when you meet the unbelievers, infidels, cut off their necks. By the way, cutting off the heads of infidels, unbelievers, is exactly what the followers of Muhammad have been doing and continue doing to Christians, Hindus, Muslims, Jews, pagans, as well as to each other sects of Islam, as I'm speaking to you. These verses, without exception, remind me of Hitler's Mein Kampf, the Nazi master race creed. Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 55. For the worst of beasts in the sight of Allah are those who reject him. They will not believe. La yu'minuna. By the way, these beasts that Allah is mentioning are all unbelievers or infidels. I repeat again, all Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics, etc. That is any and all those who are not Muslims, currently 80% of humanity. Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 110. You Muslims are the best of peoples evolved for mankind. Enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. If only the people of the book, Christians and Jews, had faith, it were best for them. Among them are some who have faith, but most are perverted transgressors. Al-Imran 3.118. O ye who believe, take not into your intimacy those outside your religion, Christians, Jews, and pagans. They will not fail but to corrupt you. They only desire your ruin. Rank hatred has already appeared from their mouths. What their hearts conceal is even far worse. This verse, like most of the other verses in Muhammad's Quran, incites his followers to hate and war against all those who do not believe as they do. Al-Bayna, chapter 98, verse 6. Those who reject the truth of Islam among the people of the book, Christians and Jews, and among the polytheists, will be in hellfire to dwell therein forever. They are the worst of creatures. Ladies and gentlemen, I have recited to you verses from different chapters so that no one can accuse me of taking items out of context. Can anyone listening please tell me, is there anything ambiguous about the contents of these verses? Can anyone of decency and morality explain how it is remotely possible to associate, let alone call Islam a religion, and more outrageously, a religion of peace? Can any listener believe that the God of Islam, Allah, is merciful and compassionate, as they claim, when he has predestined 80% of humanity to be infidels, so that 20% of humanity among his followers have the right to hunt them down as if they were beasts unless they convert to Islam, submit to Islam in humiliation forever, or be exterminated? Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran is not a holy book. The Quran is a roadmap to total war. The Quran is Muhammad's early version of Hitler's Mein Kampf. Dear listeners, it is vital that you are made aware of the following simple facts that have escaped the attention and continue to do so of most of academia and so-called scholars of Islam. All that humanity knows about Muhammad and his Quran are the unsubstantiated, uncorroborated, and unwitnessed stories that Muhammad informed his followers about, and what his followers transmitted to humanity decades later. For example, there is not a single report in the Hadith, which is the traditions about Muhammad, that anyone has ever heard or seen Muhammad and the angel Gabriel talk to each other, not even his wives. All that we know about Muhammad are the unsubstantiated words of Muhammad himself, and only Muhammad, that he received revelations from his God Allah through the angel Gabriel. Furthermore, each and every important event recorded by his followers about the life of Muhammad, such as his first alleged revelation, his night journey, and other so-called miracles, always happened in the dead of night, without a single eyewitness to these otherwise outstanding events other than Muhammad. Again, I repeat that all humanity has been bequeathed and will ever have are the assertions or the words of one man called Muhammad that he allegedly had undergone these experiences. In no proper court of law would only the words of one person without other eyewitnesses or proofs to the events be accepted as factual, but only as hearsay. Yet hundreds of millions of people follow Muhammad like lemmings over the precipice, without any of them questioning Muhammad's veracity. Ladies and gentlemen, belief is not based on logic or on facts. It's not negotiable, because it is based entirely upon the perception and faith of the individual to accept matters without ever questioning them as true. In the next 2.5 hours or thereabouts, I shall share with you, step by step, the following fundamental questions regarding Islam. What does Islam mean? Is Allah God? Was Muhammad an illiterate prophet? Is Islam a religion? What is jihad? Is Islamophobia real? Please be aware that words are the most powerful weapons in the arsenal of the human intellect. Most human beings, even those who are Judeo-Christians, easily forget that according to the Bible, the whole universe was created with the words of God, starting with, "Let there be light." Only Adam, or mankind, and later Eve, was formed from the dust of the earth, and life was breathed into it. As powerful as the written word is, of immensely greater power is the spoken word, for the simple reason that not many people have access to books or may even be or are illiterate, while the spoken word can be heard instantly by tens, if not hundreds of millions of people. Hence it is of paramount importance to know the meaning of words as they were used at different times. Let me elaborate with a simple example. Gay used to mean happy or merry. Centuries later, as at the present, it denotes homosexuality. The same with the Arabic language, as it was used at the time of Muhammad, not as it may mean 1400 years later. Just after 9/11, President Bush asserted to shocked and astounded American people that Islam means peace, that Islam is a peaceful religion, that radicals or extremists have hijacked it, that these militants or terrorists are not true Muslims. 13 years later, even after 27,000 or more acts of Islamic terror all over the world against non-Muslims, and although we watch with horror how Muslims are butchering each other, as well as slaughtering Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, and pagans, our intellectually bankrupt elite keep telling us that the perpetrators are not true Muslims. Our criminally negligent leaders assert that although the mass murderers are shouting Allahu Akbar, the Islamic terror verse, before and during every single act of destruction, that what we are seeing is not real Islam. Let me assure you that by the time these hours are over today, those of you who are listening with an open mind or are jotting down what is relevant or maybe will spend the time to learn more from my web will know more about Muhammad and Islam than 98% of current humanity, including the alleged foremost authorities on Islam. Let me now share with you the following that any one of you can verify at the click of a mouse. What does Islam actually mean? Islam is an Arabic word whose root verb is aslama, meaning submission, and only submission. It does not mean peace, and has nothing to do with peace. Submission to who? From the perspective of Muhammadan Islam, it is submission to the will of a one and only God called Allah, who they assert is the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Hence, in a nutshell, Islam means and is submission to the will of one God. Remarkably, the Quran emphasizes in numerous chapters and verses that Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Jacob, the Israelites, Moses, Aaron, King David, King Solomon, Jesus, and the apostles are all Muslims. It's in Arabic. When one asks any Muslim, how is it possible that all these biblical characters are Muslims, although they existed between 2,500 years to 620 years before Muhammad and his Quran? One will get a stupefied stare or an otherwise incoherent answer. Because after 1,400 years of indoctrination of both the followers of Muhammad and others, it is very difficult to shed such intense brainwashing and liberate one's intellect. Even after 1,400 years of the deepest thinking and research by the greatest exegetes of Islam, they have not come to the very simple conclusion that, of course, all the biblical characters aforementioned are Muslims, although they existed centuries before Muhammad and his Quran. Because each and every one of them believed in the one and only God of Israel, called Yahweh. Hence, contrary to the deliberately perverted interpretation of the word Muslim by the Arabs and the followers of Muhammad, who claim and arrogate it only to themselves, all Christians and Jews are without a shadow of a doubt Muslims, according to the crystal clear meaning of the word Islam. without ever having anything to do with Muhammad or his Quran.